Tonight, we start the show 20 times. Mike won't let his cheese go, and James takes his pants off.
Once again, this is James from SurvivalPunk.com.
And once again, this is Couch Potato Mike from SurvivalPunk.com.
Not to be confused with that sexy mofo Sweet Potato Mike from NutritionPunk.com.
You completely derailed me. I have no idea what the hell to say after that.
Yes. I am just waiting to see if Audacity just stops recording again like a jackass, like a cat. Like a cat that just knocks shits off table.
Yes, this is our fifth time, I think. Is it fifth?
Fourth or twelfth.
I don't know. We've just tried starting this show like a butt booty load of times. And, well, it seems to be working. So I'll be happy when we get past the 57-second mark.
I'm thinking maybe our microphone is just being a jackass. I think Audacity and does not want to play with our microphone, possibly. At first, the recording levels were too low, and then it just kept stopping.
I thought Audacity came with the microphone.
No.
Really?
Audacity is you download it. You can download it on anything, except for your wife's tablet that's a piece of shit.
Leave my wife's tablet out of it.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Well,
I told you not to get it. You're like, oh, I'm going to get this Surface 2. No, don't do that. That's a piece of shit. Oh, no, it's what she really wants.
It was what I wanted.
It was what she wanted.
Well, you should listen to James, because you would have known it's a piece of shit.
What would you have recommended?
A fucking laptop like I got. That can do everything.
She's already had a laptop, and the damn thing broke, because it was a piece of shit.
Maybe it's user error. Anyway.
Maybe your mother's user error.
Oh, I actually have an announcement to make before... I got a couple announcements to make before we get into what's coming up today.
Yeah, this has been the most fucked up banner we've ever had at the beginning of a show.
First of all, I want to give some little news from my friends Zombie Hunters, Zombie Squad at zombiehunters.org. Link will be in the show notes. So they're taking up money for the Nepal earthquake. Which, on Saturday, April 25th, 2015, a 7.8 magnitude earthquake... Somebody needs to hit the dog outside that won't shut up. 7.8 magnitude earthquake struck Nepal with a major aftershock hitting the country the very next day. Current estimates place the death toll at over 6,000. Another 10,000 were injured, while in the United Nations estimates that 8 million people have been affected and 600,000 houses have been destroyed and or damaged. Millions have been left homeless and without basic necessities. I usually always donate money to the Zombie Squad relief efforts. They are a 501c nonprofit. They're donating their money to the SEVA Foundation.
S-E-V-A. SEVA.
SEVA. It's a long E. Which has a 96.49 rating on the Charity Navigator, which means they won't steal your money like the Red Cross. So if you want to donate your money to the Red Cross, just roll it up and smoke it instead, because it'll be about the same. I would suggest you donate your money to the Zombie Squad to help relief there. The current amount as raised of today of 5-1-2015 is $2,055.85. If you are one of the first 100 people to donate over $25, which probably not at the point you hear this, they will send you a dog tag. I have got a bunch of dog tags from Zombie Squad from charities that I've helped before.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep. So it's neat, and it's charity. It's tax deductible if that's your thing, and you actually help people out that need help. And then secondly, our buddy Jeff Radke at the Lost Skills Podcast. He has his own membership support area now called the Lost Skills Workshop.
The Lost Skills Workshop.
Yes. If you would like to join Jeff's Lost Skills Workshop, which would be a good way to support the Lost Skills podcast, you can get a discount if you are a member of the Survival Punk Army. You get five buckaroonies off the 1 year, which is $35, or $5. Did I say $1? $5. I'm a cheap bastard. You only get $1 off. No.
No, I think you said $5.
You get $5 off both the 1 year and 6 month terms. I don't remember what 6 months are. Maybe $15. I'm not sure.
It's usually like 1 month, but times six.
No. Price wise.
Oh. I don't know how much a month costs.
Okay, then. I don't know if he has a month. I have a month. You can join the Survival Punk Army for $5 a month.
Yes, and members of his Law Skills workshop actually get discounts off of membership to the Survival Punk Army.
Yep, $5 off a 1 year and $5 off a 6 month.
Yeah, you hear that, Use Guys?
Use Guys.
Use Guys love a discount.
And Jeff does a good podcast over there. I suggest you listen to him, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jeff.
I've only listened to one episode of his podcast. Sorry, Jeff. And it sounded like he was driving while he was doing it.
He does all of his podcasts while driving.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, son of a bitch.
Good use of that time. We listen to podcasts while driving. He makes podcasts while driving.
Well, he's got it ass backwards, then.
Yeah.
Does he listen to them at home?
He listens to podcasts at work.
Okay, he records them while driving, but listens to them while working.
Yes.
Yep, ass backwards.
Wouldn't you rather listen to podcasts while working?
I used to listen to podcasts and stuff while working.
Yeah. Can you not throw on headphones? Anyway, no, we're derailed. What do we got coming up today, Mikael?
Oh, coming up on the show today, we're going to tell you about 16 ways from 1913 to save money and live frugally, 14 prepper items to look for at garage sales. We're going to be talking about Adkins. Just let that one soak in for a minute. And then we're going to be talking about how, if you've got chronic health issues, the answer to solving them might be going against the grain. But before we get into all that, it's time to give a shout out to a few words from the good people at our sponsors. So, what sponsors do we have coming up today, Mike? Thank you, Mike. This show brought to you by JMBullion.com. JM Bullion, home of all your gold and silver needs. Can you think of a better way to build up a monetary hedge against the upcoming apocalypse? JMBullion.com. Free shipping on all orders, $100 or more. Find them in the banner on the right-hand side of SurvivalPunk.com, where you will also find CampingSurvival.com. For all of your bug-in and bug-out needs, CampingSurvival.com, a great place to get fish antibiotics, same as human antibiotics, but with gills. CampingSurvival.com. Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee, for the best damn cup of coffee this side or that side of the planet. Proceeds go to help out a local orphanage, and they pay their workers a fair wage. With a bunch of different flavors, you should really try their Mexicali. That is Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee. And WellFoodCo.com, inventors of the Carne Bar and the Paleo MRE, homes of some very delicious paleo-ish cookies. WellFoodCo.com. Paper-ish. And greeningout.com, at the greeningoutpodcast.com or .co.uk, for a little bit of anarchy and a little bit of libertarianism with a Scottish brogue, the Greening Out Podcast.
Yes, and we will be reappearing on the Greening Out Podcast probably several times, at least over the next month or so. Should be fun. Always good chatting with Dan.
Yeah, they like us for some reason.
Because we're funny as fucking fuck. Yes, I'm sorry, Dad. That was a terrible accent.
Actually, that's the most spot-on I've ever heard you be with an accent, actually.
Yeah.
It's fucking pathetic, because, but still.
It's because, you know, I'm part Scottish, you know, Clan Burnett. I actually have my own crest. There's a Clan Burnett.
I thought you were part Chinese.
No, I look Chinese. Great. I one of my friends put a picture on Facebook earlier of him wearing a camouflage utility kilt. And it just made me, I have kilt envy. Like, I really...
Utilikilt?
Yes.
The fuck is a utilikilt?
It's like if kilts were made by the people that made cargo pants with cargo pockets.
I am Batman Lottie.
I'll show you a picture later on. Oh my god, maybe I can, I'm gonna start emailing the utilikilt companies every single day asking for a review. A review? That's every day, like, I would like to review your product. The next day, I would really like to review your product. Did you get my email where I said I'd really like to review your product? Because I'd really like to review your product.
If you thought I was joking, I wasn't. I really want to review your product.
Yes, for really real, not for play.
I think you'll get skewed results doing it in America. Most people just think you're gay.
Utility kilts have a big following in the United States.
I don't believe you.
True story.
They
have two stores. I think they closed the one store that was in Portland. They have a San Diego store and a Portland store, which, granted, is not the best results for, you know, because they're weird places.
Probably because they're tired of people walking down the street wearing their utility kilt and like, oh my God, that dude's wearing a skirt.
No, they're definitely
wearing a skirt.
They're kilts. You can see
he's wearing a utility skirt.
I'm mad enough to wear a kilt, and I don't care.
And
I would wear it the true way, letting my balls flap in the air.
Yeah, we all.
Speaking of which, what do we got coming up today?
I already told you.
Did you finish it all? I heard the first thing.
Yeah, you don't listen.
Oh, yeah. I don't listen to you, actually. It's very true.
I'm filing for fucking divorce.
Yes. I'll find a new Mike.
The fuck you
I'll call him New Mike, too. That'll be his name. New Mike.
I swear to God, I will take this damn podcast and the divorce settlement.
No. First news story comes from
your mother,
MelissaKNorris.com.
It's all about 7 depression era tips to stretch your food budget.
She likes the depression, I guess. Are you looking for ways to save money? Yes. Trying to live frugally? Wondering how to make meals for less?
Absolutely.
You are not alone.
I'm not.
The web is full of information on how to save you money, pay off your mortgage, and live frugally, and do more with less.
No, it's not. It's just full of people bitching about celebrities and watching porn.
I'd say it's full of people complaining of people wrong on the internet. My great-grandmother grew up in England. My grandmother grew up in England. She was Welsh.
And she grew up in Wales.
Yes, which is England.
You just lied to your listeners!
It's the same. They're English as all the UK.
Oh, my God.
She's English. My great-grandmother grew up in England at a time before television, telephone, internet, credit cards, and shopping malls. She owned few clothes by today's standards, and it was not a fashion faux pas to wear the same thing more than one day in a row. I do that myself. Mm-hmm. When her family purchased food, a whole family meal could be made for 8 pennies.
8 pence.
It does
if
say
she was
pennies.
In England.
Well, yeah. It was probably less than that. Her lifestyle more than 100 years ago seems quite far removed from our modern lives in 2015.
2015. And yet it seems some wisdom never goes out of fashion. Tucked among her recipe books, letters, and scraps of notes, I discovered one of her school exercise books. London County's Council, exercise book number A2. It was this book, written in 1913. I found some economic wisdom that still applies to us today. 16 ways to save money and live frugally. In those days, frugality was important enough that it was taught in school, for God's sake. And although there was no great revelations to these words, most of this advice has stood the test of time and will probably continue to be stated as components of good money management for another century to come.
Let's skip right to the list-a-rooney.
Here it is, in her own hand.
Number one. Savings and insurance are most important. Make a priority to build your emergency fund. Yes. Most experts suggest 3 months of savings tucked away. Need help? Here's blah, blah, blah.
Number two. Remember which things are necessary and which are only luxuries.
Number three. If possible, buy things in large quantities. Make sure what you buy will store well.
Number four. Buy things from shops with a quick sale. Don't spend good money on stale food.
I don't understand number four.
Buy things from shops with a quick sale?
Don't spend money on stale food.
Well, I don't buy stale
buy
food.
Buy things from shops with a quick sale.
I
don't know.
Okay.
Well, number five. Never throw away anything that is of use. In 1913, not as many items came into the home, which made this a practical way to live. In our modern world, the better advice is to save it if it's useful and if you have the space to store it. Which is true. Otherwise, you risk becoming a hoarder and having newspapers stacked up all around your house.
Yeah, Collier's. Number six, save as much as possible in the summer. Even if you don't have a garden, in most places, food is cheaper in the summer when it's grown in abundance locally. freeze-dry, and can everything you can. Did you get your free copy of The Ultimate Home, blah, 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 blah? Grab it here.
Number 7.
I don't play games with your links.
You can't click on Mike's voice, so it doesn't work. Do not buy in a hurry. This is just as important as it 100 years ago. Don't give in to impulse buying. Step away. Think about it, especially in light of the number 2.
But I didn't even know I wanted it, and it was just right there at the fucking register.
Yeah, I know.
Number 7. Do not buy in a... Wait, you just did that. Number 8. As much as possible, buy things of a good quality and take care of them. Frugality does not have to mean purchasing the cheapest item. Cheap items are often made of cheap materials that fall apart quickly. Buying a higher quality item and taking care of it can stretch your dollars further in the long run.
I definitely agree with that, and there's a lot of items that I choose to buy that will last a lifetime instead of buying cheap. And sometimes you can get cheaply well-made things. Like my Wagner cast iron skillet that was over 100 years old when I bought it in perfect condition. I paid $10 for it.
$10 for an antique?
Yeah. At the National Pickers store in Nashville.
Because it's a skillet, so it was $10. If it was a lamp, it would have been several hundred.
Well, I mean, some of those cat. I mean, you look on eBay, some of those skillets will cost hundreds of dollars. I found this one, I was like... I freaked out when I flipped it over and saw the Wagner stamp on it. Wagner. I took it to the counter. I was like, yeah, so how much is this skillet? He's like, $10. So I tried not to freak out and, like, throw my money at him. I was like, okay, sure, why not? Why not? Take my money now. Take my money!
Did the motherfucker not know what he had?
I guess he just didn't care. And we are back. Again.
You know, people don't even know where we're gone. I don't even know why you say that.
Well, technically, you said, hold on, pause the recording.
Oh, I guess I did. You know, you should edit in some hold music.
Nah. Anyway.
A few pages later, we scrolled way past it.
Eight ways
to practice kitchen economy.
Number 1, stale bread. Used for puddings, crumbs, fried bread, fried blah, blah, blah. Don't eat bread. Fuck you.
You're so nice to people. Number 2, pieces of fat. Used for drippings, often added to recipes for flavor. Clarified fat, which can be used for cooking later.
Yes, don't ever throw away fat. Hell, I actually go grab fat off people's plates and eat it. Yum.
Yeah, you did that earlier.
I did. Number 3, milk. Scald at night. Batters, sour milk can be used for cakes and scones.
Really? Again, with cakes and scones. It's right up there with the bread for you.
But, I mean, like...
Not everybody is, like, no carb.
Well, it's not just that, but it's like... I don't know. Your milk's bad, so use it for this. I don't know about that.
Well, Hershey's. I know you don't eat Hershey's, like, chocolate or a Hershey's bar. Hershey's, their chocolate is, like, the number one selling chocolate in America.
Okay? I'm aware of that.
And they deliberately sour their milk. They deliberately sour the milk that goes into their milk chocolate. That's why it has a little tang when you bite it, when you eat it. Mm. And it stands out, and it's frankly the best.
Yeah.
I want a fucking Hershey's bar right now.
What's number 4 instead?
Pudding.
Z's.
Puddings. Leftovers can be cut in slices and fried. Although a few of us make old-fashioned English puddings, leftover quick breads can be given the same treatment. Soaked in milk and egg first, they make a great French toast.
Number 5, cold greens and potatoes. Bubble and squeak. Add a little fat to a pan and fry them up. Add leftover meat for a full meal or serve as a side dish.
Number 6, meat. Toad the whole, pie, pudding, meat pie, shepherd's pie, mince.
Yeah, cold fish, fish cakes, and fish pie.
Bones and pieces of meat. Stock. I save vegetable ends for this too.
Yeah, I compost my veggies, but I do save bones to make stock from.
You realize that the parts that most people throw off of their vegetables and everything after they eat can be actually used to, like, start a garden with?
Some of them, like onions, you could... A lot of things you can plant and they'll regrow or start them. There's some people that, like, have this... There's a perpetual onion where you keep it in water and you cut off pieces and... keep eating it over and over and over and over and over.
That's the thing about onions and potatoes. They fucking amaze me. They will start growing in the pantry if you leave them in there long enough.
Yeah. All right. That's...
If you leave them in there long enough, though, they liquefy.
That's gross.
Yeah,
and compost them. Yeah, so that was 16 ways to save money from 1913 and live frugally.
Yeah, and in case you people out there are wondering about the last eight on that, the part that James skipped past that Whitney wouldn't let me read was talking about how those last eight were actually notes that she wrote in the book herself that her great grandmother did.
Okie dokie.
You know, kind of like the Half Blood Prince in Harry Potter.
Okay, but so now we've got.
Oh. We're just, I'm stepping all over you tonight. I'm
14 prepper items to look for at garage sales. And I'm not going to read any of the preamble. This comes from urbansurvivalsite.com. Another article from these guys. Good stuff. Number one. No. Number 14. Firearms and ammunition. These are extremely difficult to find at garage sales. I've actually found a box of .30-06 ammunition at a yard sale one time. For like $2 or something, I'm like, take my money. Real estates, but you could always look. Consider saving up some cash and setting aside for when you can make a purchase. When you do happen to come across a really good deal, look for reloading equipment as well.
Number 13, bug out bag gear. You are sure to find things like lighters, matches, rain ponchos, and even knives that you can put into your bug out bag. Look for small tarps and even backpacks that can be used to make a bug out bag.
Oh, my God. I stopped at a yard sale one time, and the blanket they had on the ground to have the yard sale item set on was a military poncho liner, I think, or a poncho.
Holy shit.
And I was like, so, how much for the blanket they're sitting on? Oh, that's my husband's. He won't let me sell. Not interested in anything else. Walked away.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Number 12, silver and gold jewelry. If the dollar fails, silver and gold will be the only currency that has value.
JMBullion.com.
You wouldn't want to exchange a silver dollar for something like a pack of toilet paper, which is why you want those bits and pieces of old jewelry. Handing over an earring or broken silver necklace makes much more sense. You could also melt down the broken silver and gold jewelry to make your own bars.
And there's plenty of videos out there on YouTube that show you how you can basically do your own smelting and stuff like that, how you can melt it down and... All you got to do, stamp it with your brand.
Yeah. In Argentina, when Argentina's actually like went through a collapse, their monetary system failed. Shit's really bad there. There's like eyewitness accounts of people actually using gold chains to bar. Like they'll whip out like, a knife or something and cut it in half and be like, okay, so, a third of this necklace is that. Yeah.
Can you blame them?
Cutting links and selling shit. Yeah.
I mean, shit. I mean, that's after the shit has hit the fan. Their country's in ruins. What are they doing? What we've been preaching about the people should be doing for as long as this fucking show has been running.
Yep, all 57 episodes of it.
Yep. Number 11, hunting gear. When there are no groceries, you're going to have to hunt for your food. Buying new hunting gear at a big box store can be very expensive. Fortunately, there are plenty of hunters who grow tired of the sport and prefer to rely on the market for their meat. Look for bows, ammunition, trapping supplies, and camouflage gear.
Number 10, canning supplies. There are plenty of people who don't want grandma's old canning jars, canner, and all the tools that go along with it. Home preservation is something preppers need to do in order to store up enough food to last them for several months. Jars can also be used to store water.
Yes, they can. Or bacon fat. That's what I have a mason jar in my fridge right now full of bacon fat.
Yeah, I use my jars for all sorts of stuff.
Number 9, medical supplies. Garage sales that are held following someone passing away who had a long illness are a great place to find unused medical supplies. I'm so sorry. That's just so fucking horrible. That really is. Just hang around the dead person's house and wait for them to sell their shit.
I actually have a comment on this one when you get done.
You can often find crutches, splints, slings, and bandages that are unopened. Look for boxes of gloves, face masks, and unopened packages of alcohol wipes and syringes. People will typically sell these items for very cheap just to get rid of the evidence of a loved one's illness and passing. And yeah, I'm firsthand witness to how quickly a lot of families will want to clean out the house and just get rid of everything. I used to deliver medical equipment to hospice patients. I did this for almost 4 years. And, I mean, I oftentimes had people calling in, please come pick this stuff up, when the body's still in the house.
Oh, wow.
I mean, because they're just, as soon as the person's dead, they want everything gone. And everything's an emergency to those people.
I actually went to an estate sale one time, and they were selling, I came across a box that had gauze rolls and gauze pads, you know, for bleeding.
Yeah.
There's a whole shoebox packed full of the stuff. And I'm like, so what do you want for this? Because this stuff's actually pretty expensive, whole set, you know, buying it. I think I paid like $2 for a whole box full of this stuff.
Oh, my God.
I packed out my first aid kit with it, so.
It's amazing the stuff that
people. Estate sales, yeah.
Yeah, estate sales. The people that have lost somebody, it's amazing the shit that they'll get rid of.
Yeah. They don't care for that stuff. I mean.
Oh, God. This guy I used to work with at that same place, God rest his soul. These people, I mean, they were just sticking stuff in his van. He called me. He's like, they gave me a whole van. They gave me like two whole boxes full of narcotics. I'm like, what?
Nice.
He's like, yeah, there's morphine and Loratabs and everything in this damn thing. I'm like,
sweet.
Seriously, what are you going to do with it? He's like, I don't know. I don't think I was supposed to take it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, dude, just when you get back there, when you get back to the office, just toss it in the dumpster. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, go ahead and toss it in the dumpster. He got back to the office, tossed it in the dumpster. I climbed in there, got it, and sold it to a drug dealer.
Well, there you go. Free market.
I made $500 off that box.
Nice.
He didn't know what the hell he was doing.
You've got to read one. You're playing with your tack. You're not paying attention.
I just read medical supplies.
Did you?
Yeah.
Number 8, manual kitchen tools. Vision garage.
Wait. Stop. You said you wanted to comment on that after I was done, and then I just stepped all over
you. I did. I bought stuff from an estate sale.
Oh, okay. Number 8, then.
Number 8. Manual kitchen tools. Visit garage sales where older people have lived. You are sure to find old hand grinders and a variety of hand kitchen tools that will come in handy when you don't have electricity. Look for can openers, meat grinders, graters, and manual hand mixers.
And it's amazing. Sometimes you go into like some of these antique malls and shit like that, and you will see like butt booty loads of these fucking old like kitchen utensils. I mean, from over 100 fucking years ago, still completely functional.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know that old phrase, they don't make them like they used to?
They don't.
Well, they don't.
No, they don't.
Number 7, tools. You're going to be your own handyman and will need to take care of any repairs around the house. You may even need to build a shelter. Pick up extra hammers, wrenches, axes, screwdrivers, and so on. Keep in mind that you can never have too many tools. If you have 6 hammers, you could always use one to barter with and to get something else that you need. And I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I mean, look, like, I've said. You've heard of the show. I imagine all of our listeners have heard of the show, This Old House.
Oh, yeah. Especially, I grew up on it.
I mean, and Norm Abrams, the guy, you know, he was Bob Vila's, like, sidekick.
Wasn't Jeff Radke on that show?
Oh, my God. But, no, I mean, and he's had his own show. And he has this, he had this one show I was watching a few years ago. And his, like, co-host kind of dude on there, he needed to borrow a miter box from Norm. And I always got a kick out of this. You can see on his shelf above all these tool racks, he had at least a dozen various miter boxes. Mm. Norm did not want to let him borrow one. He's like, okay, I'll get back with you on that later. He's like, and at the end of the show, he's like, here's the miter box. Just bring it back to me on Saturday. It was one that he made himself.
Yeah.
He did. He made dude a miter box to use over the weekend. He's like, I'm going to need that back. And still wanted it back. Well, it did come with his saw, so.
Yeah. Number 6,
emergency supplies.
Look for things like candles, radios, first aid kits, and so on. Even the half-used candles can be bought for cheap and melted down to make your own larger candles.
Absolutely. Number 5, board games and puzzles. And I agree with this one completely.
Wholeheartedly.
You need something to do in those long hours without electricity and all those technological gadgets we have come to depend on. Good old-fashioned board games and puzzles would be an ideal way to pass the time. You can find these for under $1 in most cases. The more you have on hand, the less you will be dealing with bored family members. And, I mean, on every survival show I've ever heard of, especially like Survivor Man, he preaches against the evils of boredom. I mean, that's why he brings his damn harmonica with him everywhere he goes. Boredom is your worst enemy during a survival situation.
Yeah. Number four, gardening tools. Buy extra hose, rakes, shovels, and other gardening equipment. Your prepper garden will need tending, and you will likely not have gasoline to run your equipment. These tools tend to break after a time, so you want to have backups. You also want to have plenty of tools so more than one person can tackle a big job at a time.
You know, they've kind of spread tools out over like three of these.
Yes.
I mean, they have just like...
Certain tools,
kitchen tools, gardening tools.
Yeah. Look for tools.
Yes, just look for fucking... Look for things that are made of metal and wood and plastic.
Hose.
Giggity, giggity. Number three, winter clothing. Old flannel shirts, coats, gloves, and hats are very inexpensive at garage sales. Stock up on these things when you can. Buy several in varying sizes, especially if you have children that are going to be growing like weeds. Having plenty of coats ensures that you will always have something dry to put on if you should have to go out and chop wood, hunt, or look for water.
Number two, camping gear. Anything that has to do with camping, i.e. cook stoves, tents, lanterns, and so on. Blah, blah, blah. We've covered this. Number one. Ooh, number one.
Cast iron cookware. This stuff tends to be plenty pricey when buying brand new, but you can get it for about half price at garage sales. Cast iron pans, or even less if they don't know what the hell they're selling. Yeah. Cast iron pans are exactly what you need for cooking over an open fire, which is going to take the place of your kitchen stove when the power is out. You know, interestingly enough, with pans, people tend to forget something, and I'm kind of glad this got brought up. You can actually cook on both sides of those.
Oh, yeah.
If need be, you can cook on the underside of it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's all I wanted to say.
But why?
Well, say you don't have any real good way of cleaning that particular pan at that particular moment, just flip it over and cook on the clean bottom. Meanwhile, you're burning off all the gunk.
Yeah.
Self-cleaning.
I just use my spatula to scrape it out.
What if you don't have a spatula?
How am I going to cook?
With a stick?
Then I'll scrape it out with the stick. Why would I not have my spatula?
I don't know. You're doing it wrong.
No. Yes, this list comes from UrbanSurvival.com. UrbanSurvivalSite.com.
Urban Survival Site. Why the site? Why'd they have to do that? Probably because it was already an
Urban Survival. I'm pretty sure UrbanSurvival.com was taken by somebody else.
Probably the people at UrbanSurvival.com.
I would have named it UrbanSurvivalHQ.com. If that's not taken, someone go buy that. Right meow.
Right meow.
Alrighty.
And coming up on our main topic, Atkinses.
The Atkins diet. I have a lot of respect for Dr. Atkins and his vision and the plan that he laid out.
I don't want to talk about this.
Because you're basically doing Atkins right meow.
Sort of.
And you're struggling. Which is why I chose to do this topic today. Because I successfully did Atkins several years ago. And I have some insight to it. And I think by covering this in the show topic, you may glean some insights.
I'm not actually doing Atkins. I'm basically taking the best of the Atkins diet, the paleo diet, and the primal diet. And working it all together to create something that's going to make me shed 100 pounds.
I will have you explain exactly what you're doing in a moment. But first, we will cover Atkins. So, I was saying that I was prefacing my respect for Dr. Atkins and what he laid out to differentiate that from the brand, the company, Atkins. Because they are doing some retarded shit at the moment. And I'm not sure that Dr. Atkins, were he still alive, no, he did not die of something retarded like a
savage. Oh my god, that old fucking rumor that he died morbidly obese.
He did not die morbidly obese. He did bloat due to the illness he had because he slipped on the ice in New York and like his brain on the sidewalk and some other complications happened. He was not fat. He did not die of food or anything food related. I mean, people slip and die. It happens.
Shit happens. Old man, Joe.
Yeah. I mean, he was old. He was 60s, 70s, older somewhere.
So yeah, just some of the commercials with stupid Sharon Osbourne at the moment. I'm like, I don't agree with what you're going.
I'm kind of glad I don't have regular television, so I can't see this stupid shit.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm gonna. What we're talking about today is the Atkins induction phase, which is what you do to get yourself into a fat burning ketosis mode. Maybe at some point in the future, we'll have Jimmy Moore back on to talk about like low carb 202, you know, next level stuff. Because I would cover the basics today, and we've covered it in shows before. But I just wanted to like do this as a show to vocalize it so Mike can hear it, and maybe you guys can do it. I did induction phase before and had massive success with it, and I still to this day am a fan of low carb. So just a quick overview. Blah, blah, blah.
Great there we go. Overview.
The purpose of the first phase of the program, known as the induction phase, is to jumpstart your weight loss. In an all-too-common misconception, is that the first phase of Atkins is the whole program. It can be. I used it. In reality...
You never got off the induction phase for a long time.
No, I loved it. In reality, it's the key to kickstarting your fat-burning metabolism, making the switch from a glucose-burning system to a fat-burning system. As you move through the diet, you'll find that the maximum grams of net carbs you consume while counting to lose weight. Keep your appetite under control and stay alert and energized. This is called the personal carb balance. Basically, it's the maximum amount of carbs you can consume while remaining in ketosis and burning fat. Some people, like Jimmy Moore, I think he has to stay around, 40 or 50. You know, maybe you may say, so let's learn more about the diet, blah, blah, blah. How long? A minimum of 2 weeks, Mike. But you may safely follow it much longer if you have a lot of excess weight to lose or prefer to lose most of your excess pounds relatively quickly.
It was pretty much the induction phase of the Atkins diet that you put me on to
lose the contest weight.
Yeah, to win that weight loss contest
with a few extras, but yeah. Mm-hmm. You'll stay in this phase until you're 15 pounds from goal weight, Mike.
Okay.
Purpose: shift your body from burning primarily carbs, glucose, to burning primarily fat, kickstarting weight loss. Goal: significantly drop your daily net carb intake to an average of 20 grams, no less than 18, and no more than 22 of net carbs, the level at which most anyone begins to burn primarily fat. If you don't know, I'll explain this. Net grams of carbs is your carb intake minus fiber.
Okay.
So if you look at the back of a, I don't know, like spinach or something, it says it has like, you know, 4 grams of carbs and 2 grams of dietary fiber. A can of Pepsi has no fiber in it.
No, it does not.
It does have 41 grams of carbs serving of one can.
Oh my God, that is like, that's like 2 days worth of fucking carbs.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And that's not counting food. And a lot of your food will have trace amounts of carbs.
No wonder you wouldn't let me drink this.
Yeah.
That'd be like all the carbs that I'm supposed to consume for 2 days, then some.
Yeah.
Crikey.
So that's the basic, you know, stuff there. So the foods you can eat are all fish, including flounder, herring, salmon, sardines, sole, tuna, trout, cod, halibut.
Salmon.
Just as salmon.
Okay, that's a pet peeve of mine, people that mispronounce salmon.
I will always call it salmon.
That lesbian I used to work with, she always called it salmon.
All fowl, including Cornish hen, chicken, duck, goose, pheasant, quail, turkey, ostrich.
I didn't think chicken was considered a fowl. I thought it was considered poultry.
Whatever.
All shellfish, including clams, crab meat, mussels, oysters, shrimp, squid, and lobster. And there's actually asterisks by the mussels and oysters. Oysters and mussels are higher in carbs, so limit to about 4 ounces per day.
Yes.
All meat, including bacon, asterisk, beef, ham, asterisk, lamb, pork, veal, venison. Some processed meats, bacon and ham, are cured with sugar, which will add to the carb count. Avoid cold cuts and other meats with added nitrates if possible. Eggs in any style, including deviled, fried, hard-boiled, omelets, poached, scrambled, soft-boiled. Eggs are one of nature's most nutritious creations. That's why eggs are a staple breakfast in the Atkins nutritional approach, which will be easy for me. I love eggs.
Yeah. Fats and oils. Ooh, a category that I'm in love with. There are no carbs here, but keep in mind that the serving size is approximately 1 tablespoon, as we experimented earlier with coconut oil.
Mm-hmm.
Butter, mayonnaise. This is tricky. Be sure to pick a good brand. There's kind of hard to find. Number 3, olive oil. Vegetable oils. No. You're just going to say no. Just no. These labeled cold press or expeller press are especially good, and olive oil is one of the best. Canola oil, no. Walnut, yeah, probably. Soybean, no. Grapeseed, yeah. Sesame, meh. Sunflower, yeah. Safflower, no.
And then there's asterisks by a good portion of those.
Canola, soybean, grape, sunflower, and safflower. Do not allow any oils to reach overly high temperatures when cooking. Use olive oil for sautéing only. Use walnut and sesame oils to dress cooked veggies or salad, but not for cooking.
Stopping. On a side note, I completely forget why is canola oil the devil in your book?
It is a GMO crop. And it's not so much the fact that it is a GMO crop, but what they do is they genetically modify it to not be killed by weed spray. So they can spray, they can drench the fields and spray them with Roundup.
Good God!
I forget the plant. It's not a canola plant. It's something else.
What is a canola?
I forget. It's not a canola, though. It's a something plant. And if I knew the name, you'd be like, oh, okay, that I know that plant. But anyway, they spray the fields in it, thus drinking it up, the root, the weed killer, into its veins of, you know, plant veininess.
That's just evil.
Yeah. So do you really want to consume that? No. Artificial sweeteners, sucralose, saccharin, or stevia. I like stevia, my personal best. One packet equals about 1 gram net carbs, more or less. Kind of. I don't count the stevia, but I don't use more than like a tablespoon a day for my coffee. Anyway.
Beverages. Clear broth. Bouillon. Make sure it has no sugars added. Club soda. Cream. Heavy or light. Decaffeinated or regular coffee and tea. Asterisk. Diet soda. Be sure to note the carb count. Flavored seltzer. Must say no calories. Herb tea. Without added barley or fruit sugars added. Unflavored soy or almond milk. Water, at least 8 ounce glasses per day, including filtered water, mineral water, spring water, tap water. And 1 to 2 cups of caffeinated tea or coffee is allowed. Okay, this is the asterisk.
Yeah.
1 to 2 cups of caffeinated tea or coffee is allowed as desired and tolerated by each individual. If you experience symptoms of hypoglycemia or cravings as a result, do not use caffeine. If you have a true caffeine addiction, it is best to break the habit during the induction phase. Limit lemon and lime juices to 3 tea per day. 3 tea?
Teaspoons.
Well, the one, you know, whatever. And limit cream, heavy or light, to 3 tablespoons or 1.5 fluid ounces per day.
Yeah. I mean, once you kind of get the wing of it, you can just kind of eyeball, you know, how much cream. I just pour like a little bit into the bottom of my coffee cup. I drink one or two coffee cups a day, so I don't really care too much. About the diet drinks, it's... If you notice that you're stalling on your weight loss and you consume, say, more than one can Coke and diet soda a day, you probably want to cut it off for a while. Diet drinks can stall weight loss in some people, and it can also kick off sugar cravings because your body thinks it's consuming calories and it's not, so it makes it crave stuff. There's a thing where people filled up a bird feeder with like non-caloric sugar water, so like Splenda water.
Okay.
And the birds died consuming no-calorie food.
They killed those birds.
They killed those birds. They killed them birds! That's... Cheese! Parmesan grated, goat, blue cheeses, cheddar, gouda, mozzarella, cream cheese, parmesan, Swiss, and feta. It gives a serving size and net carbs. Links will be in the show notes.
But keep in mind that cheese does contain carbs, about 1 gram per ounce approximately. So you may have about 3 to 4 ounces of cheese per day. An ounce is about the size of an individually wrapped slice of American cheese or a 1-inch cube.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to be super, super stringent with it, but, you know, I wouldn't go crazy and eat a block of cheese, you know, and if your weight loss is stalling, you might want to take a look at that. Foundation vegetables. Mike, this is something you want to definitely pay attention to, and they give you serving sizes. Usually you can have, a couple cups a day, half cup, half. So, alfalfa sprouts, raw, chicory greens, endive, escrow, olives, green, watercress, arugula. Arugula in Australia is called rocket, by the way.
Huh.
I think the name is pretty cool.
And the list goes on and on and on.
On and on and on. Where'd we go? Where'd we go? Where'd we go?
You went up.
I clicked it. There we go.
Oh, what the hell?
Watercress, radishes, spinach, bok choy, lettuce, turnip greens, heart of palm, olives, black radicchio.
Oh, I love heart of palm.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Button mushrooms, raw. Artichoke, marinated. Celery, collard greens, pickle, broccoli, raw. Sauerkraut, avocado, daikon, radish, red, white, onion, chopped, raw, or you can saute or whatever. Cucumber. You want to be kind of zucchini, cucumber, cauliflower. Cauliflower. Broccoli, fennel, blah, blah, blah. This is long. These are show notes.
In other words, there's a lot of vegetables out there.
Yes, and you can try them all.
We have salad garnishes, interestingly enough. Crumbled bacon, about 3 slices. Hard-boiled eggs, about 1 egg. Sautéed mushrooms, half a cup.
Sour cream.
Sour cream, 2 tablespoons.
Grated cheese, same as above. Herbs and spices. Basil, cayenne, pepper, cilantro, dill, oregano, tarragon, parsley, chives, ginger, rosemary, sage, black pepper, and garlic.
Wait. Do they have them all? Parsley, sage, rosemary? Ah, no time!
No time for you, my friend.
Ah, you couldn't resist the horrible pun.
Giggity, giggity, giggity. Salad dressings, red, white, and vinegar. Caesar, ranch. Caesar, you want to be iffy. Make sure to check the card counts on the back. They might be kind of wacky and have extra added sugar. French, lemon juice, blue cheese, lime juice, balsamic vinegar, Italian, creamy.
And it's important to note that you're probably going to want to limit those. Any prepared salad dressing with no added sugars that have more than 2 grams of net carbs per serving, 1 to 2 tablespoons, is acceptable. Or you can make your own out of bacon fat. But
oh my God, you sure can.
Yeah, you really can.
I mean, just looking over this, balsamic vinegar has the highest of 2.7. Most balsamic vinegar in the grocery stores is not actually balsamic vinegar, but is fake gobbledygook. You'd be better off getting cooking sherry. Same effect.
Holy shit.
Yes.
And
not drinking it.
And they want to note down here at the bottom, if you decide to stay on the induction longer than 2 weeks, you may swap out 3 GNC. What does that mean?
Three grams of net carbs.
3 grams of net carbs of other foundation vegetables for 3 grams net carbs of nuts or seeds. Do not let your foundation vegetable levels drop below 12 grams of net carbs, though.
Yes. It is very important, and it's something often overlooked, to pick some items from those foundation vegetables and actually eat them and put them in part of your diet. We've talked about before in sort of the higher level nutrition shows that if you just eat high amounts of protein, meat, if you become super carnivorous, it's hard to actually get into ketosis and burn fat because you consume so much protein. Your body converts that protein through the process of gluconeogenesis to glucose. Therefore, you're just like eating sugar.
You know, and I'm going to admit this, okay? And I'm going to admit this to our fans out there that I have started the diet today. I did start the diet today.
Yes.
And I got off to kind of a rocky start. Yes. Yesterday, my workplace had an open house where they invited people in to, you know, trying to drum up business. And they had a bunch of different, you know, trays of food and things for people. Like fruit trays and vegetable crudité and, you know, big plates of cookies and all this stuff. And they left it there. I mean, they refrigerated it overnight, but then they brought it back out for the employees to eat today.
Right.
Just, you know, because it was going to go to waste otherwise. I will admit I had a fucking cookie.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't even thinking about the diet at that moment. Despite the fact that I'd already eaten a low carb, I just walked past them like, cookie. And then I started eating, and I'm almost finished with them. I'm like, I'm on a fucking diet. Now I feel like shit.
Yeah.
But they left the food out, and honestly, I did go back to those trays. And ate quite a bit of carrots and celery, though.
Well, there you go.
Well, not quite a bit. I had some cheese, too. I mean, I had, like, a handful of... had like 3 celery stalks and maybe like 5 carrot sticks.
Dipped them sparingly in the ranch. You will notice that carrots are not on the approved list.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Carrots are actually fairly high in carbohydrate content, well, surprisingly.
Then I fucked up.
Well, you ate a cookie, but I mean, like I was saying earlier, and like I was talking with Gary Collins on the podcast a few weeks ago.
Carrots, on the other hand, are paleo.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, if you happen to fuck up and eat carrots, that's, I mean, whoopity-doo.
You could fuck up worse.
You could fuck up worse. You could eat a cookie. You could snort heroin off of a prostitute's ass. You could fuck up worse.
Okay, stop right there. You're going to say ass, we're going to say motherfucker and all this shit, and you're going to be talking about snorting heroin, but you call her a prostitute and not a hooker?
Yes.
I don't even know who you are anymore.
She's a lady.
They're not ladies. The lady is a tramp, dude.
No. So yeah, I mean, like I was talking to Gary Collins about, you know, some people, they get too uppity. They get too just sort of neurotic over the food. And it's like two things. I'm getting off so many tracks. It's like, I made a mistake. Fuck it all. I'm off the diet. And then they'll go like dive into like a pizza and, you know, wash it down with Chinese takeout or whatever. You know, if you make one mistake, don't follow it up with a chain of mistakes. Make the next food decision smart. Enjoy the food that you happen to eat. And then go back to it. It's hacking your body to force it into ketosis.
Mm-hmm.
The body will get out of ketosis fairly easily unless you've been in ketosis for such a long time, i.e. years.
Ketosis seems really prissian.
It is. It's kind of tricky to stay in it, but there are tricks to force your body to stay in it a little bit better. Coconut oil, like you're experimenting with, can only be processed through ketosis. Your body can't burn coconut oil any other way. The medium-chain triglycerides in coconut oil, the MCT oil,
mm-hmm.
Which is what coconut oil is primarily made up of, can only be burned through the process of ketosis. So by eating it, you push yourself into a further state of ketosis and help yourself stay in ketosis.
I'm actually experimenting. I'm doing a tablespoon of coconut oil every day on top of the Atkins induction.
Right. It's, you know, make sure that the next day you make wise decisions. Mm-hmm. Losing weight is making one wise decision after another. Putting one foot in front of the other. Beating yourself up because you had a fucking cookie.
Oh, I'm not beating myself up over the cookie. I did feel a little bit bad about it. I didn't want to tell you about it. But, I mean, fuck, I can't uneat the damn cookie.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
I wish I could because the cookie wasn't even that good.
Yeah, trust me, once you...
I wish my last fucking cookie had been something else.
Like a bacon Oreo.
Okay. Bacon doesn't make everything better, damn it.
Yeah, it does.
No, bacon, the idea of a bacon Oreo just activated my gag reflex.
So that's Atkins. In a nutshell, the original idea behind Atkins. It is an excellent way to kickstart weight loss. Mm-hmm. To follow it up, you could do like the 202 version and follow up your Atkins induction with a fat fast, which is eating 1,000 calories per day. Your phone's sonic screwdrivering. Eat 1,000 calories per day of 90% fat food. So 10 ounces of cream cheese is 1,000 calories. You split that up into 200 calorie portions, I think.
I was meaning to ask you about that because I've already got like a week's worth of cream cheese in there.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was going to do.
You split it up into 5 portions.
After like 2 solid weeks of...
200 calories? Yeah. 200 calories per portion, 5 times a day, every 2 hours, I think.
Yeah, because after these first 2 weeks, that's what I'm planning on doing is going on that fat fast.
Yeah.
Because I have a lot of weight that I want to lose.
Yeah. And then we need to get you just like eating healthy. I know originally when you have that much weight to lose, you want to knock it off as fast as possible. And of course you do.
I don't want to knock it off as fast as possible, though. That's the thing. If I try to knock it off as fast as possible, I'm going to be killing myself to do it. And it's going to make me want to give up more. So I want to do it more gradually this time.
Yeah.
I really do. I figured I'm doing this. Okay, I'm doing the Atkins induction supplemented with a tablespoon of coconut oil.
Which isn't listed on here, but is fine.
And then I'm going to go on my fat fast, and then I was probably going to move into a primal diet, which is high in fat and low in carbs.
Yeah, I mean, normal.
I would say paleo. I mean, I know all of our fans out there want me to get back on paleo. I'm sorry, I'm not giving up cheese.
And that's fine. Some of the strict people in the paleo sphere will be like, you can't eat dairy, it'll kill you. Most of the smart people, including Rob Wolf himself, are okay eating some dairy as long as you don't have breakouts and ill effects. Mike doesn't have any dairy allergies at all. You don't break out in pimples.
Oh, God, no.
You don't get constipated.
Nope.
So,
yeah, that's the thing. Everybody, I mean, and I know this isn't exactly healthy to sit there and eat an entire large brick of Velveeta cheese. I've done it on several occasions and never once suffered from constipation.
Yeah. However, I would suggest that if you're going to be paleo or primal,
I'm not going to do that, but still.
Try to at least aim for good quality cheese, not processed Velveeta cheese. Get some Kerrygold makes really good cheese, by the way.
I didn't even know Kerrygold made cheese.
Kerrygold does make like two kinds of cheese.
I'm still mad at Kerrygold's, frankly.
Because they have the canola oil shit?
Yeah,
because
they have that whipped canola oil butter. And I'm like, I saw that, and the first thing I'm like, James, I wonder if he's seen this yet.
James has seen that, and James doesn't like it. And
oh, my God.
Neither does anybody. It's a dumb idea. And it's kind of like, hey, we have an established fan base of people that really like our product. Let's do something to make them all angry at us.
Fuck it up.
Yeah. So, whatever.
Canola oil.
Canola oil.
It doesn't even come from a canola.
I will,
leave the gun.
What?
Take the canola.
Plant. Does.
What are you doing?
Canola oil come from? It is. Rapeseed. Not grapeseed. Rapeseed.
Rapeseed?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it does say rapeseed. Do you really want to ingest something that comes from a rapeseed?
Rape oil!
There's only going to be 7 planets after I destroy Uranus.
Yes. So our Nutrition Punk article, which is, you know, really the whole... What is going on with this website?
Oh, my God. What the fuck? It's all invisible. What the hell, dude?
They've got a black background, a dark, dark background with black...
It's like that episode of fucking,
This can't be legit. Let me reload it. This can't be right.
It is like that episode of fucking...
There we go.
Yeah, because for a minute it was like that episode of fucking, Aqua Teen Hunger Force where the Sheik became the Drizzle. He wanted all of his stationary black ink on black paper.
Yeah, so this comes from a website that I just found, and I love their name.
NutritionalAnarchy.com!
I need to get these motherfuckers on the podcast. I had a comment. So some Jeff Radke put out the little Facebook link about us giving a discount and him giving us a discount. And some guy was like, so I just listened to their website. I listened to their podcast, and at first I was turned off by the cussing, but I decided to keep it going, keep listening. And they are funny. They are so we are the funniest survival podcast on the interwebs.
I mean, I challenge you to find a funnier one.
Yes, and if you do, we'll kill them.
Yeah, we'll just, we'll make them choke in a bowl of dicks.
Got chronic health issues? Maybe it's time to go against the grain.
I see what they did there with the go against the grain. Yeah.
There's a paleo book called that. I really hate food labels, food pyramids, USDA, and the FDA.
Oh, don't get me started on the food pyramid. It's all my sugar.
Yeah. All of the stuff they say are good for you. All the stuff they say is good for you. Are bad for you.
Oh, you're correcting their grammar.
And I hate when people do periods and then start the new sentence with the word and.
Okay, you're not supposed to start a sentence with an and.
And the things they say are bad for you.
Hello, this is James from really English Punk.
Good for you. Englishpunk.com. Someone go buy that. Write me out. Here's why. Of course, all boils down to money.
Money,
follow
money.
The money.
Money, 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 money.
As usual. It's all a weird shell game to get you to purchase highly subsidized big agri crops like corn, soy, and wheat. Big Agri is there to sell these crops to Big Food, and Big Food is there to add chemicals that make these things easy to eat and addictive. And Big Government, in the form of agencies like the USDA and the FDA, is there to tell you this stuff is good for you.
How good can the FDA really be if they fucking approve like Twinkies?
Exactly. What is promoted as good for you is actually good for corporate interests. Take the choose my plate grain recommendations, for example. According to this, adults should have between 6 to 8 servings of grains per day.
But first, keep in mind that they consider an ounce to be a serving, which is also very misleading. Who on earth just eats an ounce of rice, approximately half a cup cooked? But people take this as carte blanche to load up all day long on grains to get their recommended servings, and they think that they're being healthy. You can see what the recommended servings look like on this link that you can't click because it's my voice. Speaking of healthy, this is a word that is closely guarded by the FDA. Recently, Kind Bars...
My bad.
You son of a bitch. Recently, Kind Bars, he scrolled on me, were forced to remove the word from their labels because they contain nuts, and nuts have fat.
What?
Oh my God, here we go. Meanwhile, healthy whole grains is now an industry buzz phrase to ensure people to purchase items filled with wheat, corn, and other high density.
I have to stop you there for a second because I play a game in the stores.
I felt this was fucking coming.
I replaced the word healthy whole grains. Whenever I want my package, and I see that, like, you know, cereal, for example, has the phrase healthy whole grains on, I replace it with death crystals.
Death crystals?
Now fortified with death crystals. 7 grains of death crystals. Continue. Death crystals.
Death crystals. Copyright.
James Burnett.
Yep.
.com.
But, goddamn. Okay, by declaring something healthy and encouraging people to eat lots of it, Big Food and Big Agri are getting rich, while the people who trust them are getting sick. This, of course, has the added benefit of putting money in the pockets of Big Pharma. It's nothing but win if you happen to be part of an incestuous corporate conglomerate.
Grains are not, actually making you
not
less
enough of
healthy.
Our articles have the word incestuous.
I know. But here's the thing. Grains actually aren't a healthy part of your day.
No, they're
not.
And
I hate the motherfuckers that say moderation. No, not moderation. No grains, you dumb bastard.
You know, before we get into that, I mean, I want people to think about this. Bran, one of the most famous grains for health food. You ever wonder why it moves through your system so fucking fast? Your body's trying to expel it because there's nothing there that it's being able to use for nutrients.
Yeah.
Same with corn. Oh. That's why corn looks the same coming out as it does going in.
Yeah. There's a movement afoot of rebellious physicians who are loudly proclaiming that grains are not necessary at all.
Hallelujah.
And that they are actually detrimental.
Hallelujah.
I thought you would come up with a dum-dum-dum. There is a body of evidence that suggests grains cause everything from heart disease to obesity to diabetes to non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. More and more people are discovering that they are sensitive to grains. Dr. Jack Wolfson, Dr. William Davis, and Dr. David Perlmutter, author of Wheat Belly, are all in agreement. Grains killing us. Of course, just like Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who first suggested the links between childhood vaccines and autism. Oh, God, that's a bucket to kill people on.
Oh, God.
Just like titty milk. These doctors are being tried in the court of public opinion via insulting articles, quotes taken out of context, and ad hominem attacks. This doesn't make what they're saying less relevant. Going completely against the indoctrination of the AMA and searching for answers that don't include Big Pharma prescriptions should actually be applauded.
There's an enormous uptick in grain-related illnesses.
Dun, dun, dun.
How many people do you know who are gluten intolerant or suffering from celiac disease?
In a world.
How many people did you know with these issues when you were growing up? An article from the Mayo Clinic, confirms that there is a definite rise in cases of people who don't do well with wheat. Dr. Joseph Murray, a gastroenterologist from the famous clinic, has been researching celiac disease since the 1970s. Celiac disease is becoming a public health issue. Studies show four times the incidence compared to 1950, with fatal complications if it goes untreated. Celiac disease was rare, but is now more common in all age groups, Dr. Murray says. Although the cause is unknown, celiac disease affects about 1 in 100 people. That's 1%.
I think that's an understatement. I think that's a low ball. I think it's more. I think it's diagnosed 1 in 100 people, but I think there's probably more undiagnosed.
Exactly. What's more, Mayo has found a fourfold higher death risk for people with an undiagnosed gluten intolerance.
Yep.
Many people are pointing the finger at farming practices that include harvesting conventional wheat by dousing it in cancer-causing Roundup.
We were just talking about that.
Yes, we were. Others feel it is an under-the-table modification of the crop itself.
Where they've been not genetically modified, but bred to have 200-fold more gluten than its ancient predecessors.
Christ almighty.
Since 1970?
Good God, man.
Yeah.
TruthStream Media uncovered an old USDA film where scientists talked about fixing the gluten in flour.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
But it isn't just issues with wheat. It isn't just issues with wheat. Cardiologists like Dr. Jack Wolfson and Dr. William Davis both recommend a diet that is free of grains and far lower in carbohydrates than the SAD, which is standard American diet. Wolfson recommends the paleo diet. Thank you. Which excludes grains, dairy, corn, and soy. Davis created the wheat belly diet, which focuses on the elimination of gluten and careful management of carbohydrates.
I think that's wrong. I think he meant Perlmutter created the wheat belly diet, but whatever.
Both doctors suggest that our grain-fueled, high-carbohydrate lifestyles are sending Americans down the path of poor health and can be linked to things like heart disease, diabetes, gut issues, and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. This article's in reruns now. If you take a look at standard medical advice from NAFLD, the non-alcohol fatty liver disease, it is recommended by most doctors that people all but eliminate dietary fat. They suggest that patients become vegetarian, cut out dietary fat, and eat lots of grains and vegetables. And I'll let you take it from there.
Son of a bitch.
Go for it.
But some rebel physicians say the issue isn't actually the fat in their diet. It's the transport of that fat to the liver. The vehicle upon which those fat molecules hitch a ride is a high glycemic index carbohydrate molecules. Holy shit, we're not even halfway through this article.
Are you sure? Oh, good God. Well, that's all we're reading.
Right if now. You would like to read the rest of this article on NutritionRanker.com, which this is only part one of part at least part twos.
Yeah, so you just go to www.nutritionalanarchy.com/2015/04/29/got-chronic-health-issues-maybe-it's-time-to-time-to-grains-forward/.
Link will be in the show notes. Yes. It was a good article. Oh, the pandemic. Some really good stuff there,
and I highly agree that grains are not necessarily a part of a healthy diet at all, whatsoever.
No. Which is why they've actually created diets that can pretty much cut them completely out.
A lot of people make the argument that wheat, the staff of life, that has been the mainstay of our culture for the past 2,000 years or so, or 10,000 years, why is it bad all of a sudden? Well, like we were talking about, they're now feeding it Roundup.
It didn't
used to be bad. And making it contain 200% more things. And there's even records from the anthropological records that when we made the change from being hunter-gatherers in the Garden of Eden, my friend, to being agriculturalists and growing crops, that our health took a sudden decline. We started getting shorter than our hunter-gatherer ancestors. Hmm. We started developing teeth issues.
Really?
Teeth decay. Yeah. Hmm. Hunter-gatherers don't have teeth decay. Hmm. I mean, have you ever seen like a wild lion have like rotted teeth?
You got a fucking point.
No.
You have a freaking point. Predators out there, you never see. You never hear of a lion or a cheetah or a wolf or anything having...
Or any animal in its natural habitat.
You never hear them like having tooth decay, cavities, any crap like that.
Yeah, the people that have tooth decay and cavities are humans and captive animals fed a human diet. Mm. Like when they feed gorillas gorilla biscuits.
Yeah.
That are like carby carb cities, and they get fat and they pull out their... I just read an article on captive gorillas and how they're changing their diet. Actually, it's not an article, it's a book. But it's an article in the book. So, yeah. Yes. As you can see, I'm kind of hopped up on nutrition. I'm excited for nutritionpunk.com. I have the banner created now. You saw it. Mike had the idea. I made it happen. It's the Survival Punk logo, but with the cross spears, it has been replaced with cross knife and fork.
Oh, yeah. It only made sense.
Alrighty.
Well, our next show segment, and let's see how good... I introduced this one last week, the Survitum Challenge. It's where I give our Survival Punk here his random household object that just comes out of my brain, and he has to provide three uses for it. Last week, I picked a set of encyclopedias.
You almost could just give this to me on the show, and I can answer it right then. Because I had the answers when you gave it to me.
Yeah, I know.
Three items for a set of encyclopedias to survive in the wilderness.
Okay. Number one.
Number one. Tear out the pages and use them as fire starter. Tinder.
That's a no-brainer.
Yes. Number two. Use them as a weight in a deadfall trap to kill an animal.
Very, very good. I mean, because we are talking about 26 volume set of encyclopedias. Because those can get heavy.
Yes. Number three, self-defense.
Oh, you mean like throwing them?
Bashing someone over the head with them, tie cords around them and swing them and bash someone's head in like a mace.
I don't know if it would aptly apply to encyclopedias, but I've seen people like in prisons and stuff will actually like tape phone books around themselves and use them as body armor.
I don't know how to do that.
For like fights.
Number four. Rip out all the pages, wad them up, and use it as an insulation to keep yourself warm.
Oh, you went for a little extra credit, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty.
Number five, you can build a shelter out of them.
Not out of 26 books.
You stack them right.
You'd have to be a midget. I'm sorry, a little person.
No, I mean, you could stack them up to form one wall and then lay branches across that.
Oh, you mean like a lean-to?
Like a lean-to.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. Good job, man. Good job. Now, it is time. Now, I think you went above and beyond, and it's time for me to give you the item that you'll be thinking about next week. This one's not going to be as quite as handy, I think, as a set of encyclopedias, but I'm sure you can still come up with something.
Okay.
Your item for next week in a survival situation, a non-functional, I don't mean in pieces, I just mean it no longer works properly, a non-functional coffee pot. Coffee maker, including the decanter, the whole thing, but it just doesn't function anymore. And you have to come up with at least three survival-related uses for a non-functional coffee maker.
I have two.
You'll have the third one by next week. Quit being overzealous.
I have three.
Well, we're not talking about it now. We're talking about it on next week's show, okay. You cock.
I have four.
Good for you. Okay.
Oh, I have five! Fuck yeah!
Okay, I'm, eliminating the three rule and just as many uses as possible.
As I can pop out of my head?
Yes, so you can start making a list. Coffee maker. Okay, and... Well, hell, that's all of our regular segments. So now it is time for Mike's celebrity invite. Jimmy Moore's still on the board. I didn't replace him. So, my celebrity invite this week is one I've actually invited onto the show before. And he showed up.
Who dat be?
I've been thinking about him lately. And I want to check back in on Glenn Tate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, author of the 299 Days book series. Or is it 199 Days?
Two.
I always screw that up. The 299 Days book series. We haven't talked to him in a while. I just want to see how things are going. So, Glenn, if that is your real name, and we know it's not, come back on the show. Open-ended, open-door invite onto the show at any time. And if you want to be on the show in a different way, not necessarily for an interview, but to sell your handy or delicious or life-saving items, drop a line over to at james@survivalpunk.com. And also...
I just invited Jimmy Moore back on the show.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, james@survivalpunk.com. We can work out a bunch of different payment methods for you. Don't even necessarily have to be money. It can be all sorts of things.
I accept goats.
You accept goats?
Yes.
You know, you're fixing to be moving your tiny house to the end of my larger house.
I accept goats.
Expletive deleted.
Expletive deleted.